Hello, everybody. This is Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan. Jeff Daniel Orr and I went to the farmer's market recently, you know, like we do. And we had a nice little chat with Steve Bonney. He's the owner of Field and Forest Eco Farm and a huge proponent of all things local food. He's a writer. He has a chemistry background, graduated from Purdue University, and at one point in his life, he was a college junkie, I guess you could say. 11 years in college pursuing various degrees.
The more I studied, the more I realized that what I was pursuing was the wrong pathway, and what education was trying to fill me with was the wrong information.
So to counter what he felt was misinformation about the food system in the U.S., and to support local family farms, he started Sustainable Earth in 1991. Now, that's some 18 years ago, long before it was hip to be local. Steve Bonney, way ahead of his time. They hold an annual conference, too. Check it out on their website, sustainableearth.net. Take it away, Chef Orr.
Now, I know that one of the things that you're fighting against is the whole thing that happened in the 70s with corn syrup and fast food and junk food. You know, encouraging people to wean themselves off that and eat more naturally. How can the everyday Joe start going on that path that you've found?
Well, it is very difficult. I don't have a straight answer on that because I would say that our society is very good at creating filters from the real truth about what we eat, how we live. You know, we absorb advertising. I quit watching TV. That was one of the things that I just didn't want to hear those stories anymore about safe food that wasn't safe, about humane treatment of animals that wasn't humane. And so I like the food idea because we eat two or three times a day and we're dependent upon that. So I think people get started by saying, well, I'm going to take one item of food that I eat. It could be milk, it could be beef, it could be... Those are some of the most heinous things that happen in the way animals are treated and the chemicals in the food system. So they just take one thing that's in their diet or as a parent in your child's diet and study that. Do a lot of research on just one food item and figure out where it comes from, how is it raised, how is it transported, and what's in it. And I think most people would be appalled.
There's an unnatural cost of food in America. And when you do go towards these more sustainable, more local ingredients, a lot of times they're more expensive, but they're priced at a real price. How do you encourage people maybe on a lower socioeconomic level to eat real food?
You're exactly right about the real cost of food. We've been fed a lot of disinformation by government, by universities, by industrial farm organizations on the fact that we have the cheapest, safest food in the world. And it's more of a Cold War strategy. You know, it was like, hey, you know, no matter what happens, U.S. can raise more food than you, and we have to ship it to you. So it was always a Cold War strategy that has just filtered into our society. Again, people can't really look into all that, but you can go on, for instance, some of the not-for-profits, the Environmental Working Group has tracked farm subsidies, and you can see where farmers are getting billions and billions of dollars, $25 billion in the last few years in farm subsidies. And so that really is our cost. I mean, that's our tax dollars that is going to the cost of that food. Now, many of us can see that and to say, hey, well, I'm paying as I go when I go to local farmers and so forth. There's no other hidden cost. They're not receiving farm subsidies. But most people simply see the price in the supermarket. And so it's very difficult to try to convert those people unless they're willing. I mean, one of my sayings that I have really, it's really helped me is when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to know how to get the student ready. But when you factor in health costs, wellness, the things that we don't emphasize very much in this country, you know, to me it's a small price to pay whatever it costs for food. We've just decided that we're not going to use price as a factor in determining the quality of food that we eat.
And what do you do around your house to kind of feed yourself and your family and your grandkids and the people you love
Well, I raise as much food as I can, and that's something that everyone can do. You know, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you live, you can have some kind of a garden. Even if it's in an old trash can, you can raise food. So I try to raise as much food as I can for myself, and I grow that. I have a garden in my front yard. I don't like to mow lawns anyway. I don't even like grass. And so I have converted most of my front lawn into a garden. Some of my friends call it a yarden. So that's what I do. Then I seek out, I try to substitute every food that's how I went through this process. I took an inventory. It was in my kitchen. We probably have 300 different foods if you start counting spices and everything else. And you start wondering, well, where do those come from and how can I replace them? Now, I'm still looking for some replacements. They're difficult to find sometimes, you know. Organic jalapeno pepper slices, pickled pepper slices. They're hard to find. I've been looking everywhere for things like that. But I get down to that point where I go by naturally raised meat without any hormones and grass-fed beef.
Well, I always think that gardening is one of the best natural antidepressants around. You know, if you've got a garden planted and you can go out in your front yard or backyard and water it in the morning, it gives you something to take care of and you see it grow. I think that it's one of those things that can pull you out of a slump.
Absolutely, and you get your exercise. I have always been bored trying to go to gyms and do that kind of exercise. I'd rather go out and do hard physical work by producing something. And so I find that that's very satisfying with me as well. On cold days, you know, has its rewards, but on warm days, it really does have its rewards to be out there in that ambiance and to do what you, as you say, doing what you really want to do, and to raise that food. That's a bonus. And then you can take that further. Not only is that creating good food for you, but you can also give that to people. We give it to our children. We give it to our neighbors. I have a peach tree in my front yard that just is loaded every year, and I take a bag of peaches to all my neighbors.
How can we get the next generation, to get involved in this? I know that Alice Waters is a restaurateur out in Berkeley, and she's done a lot to start school lunch programs and even gardening programs for kids.
I tell people to, you know, that all schools should have a garden, and I've helped schools start a garden. You also get kids in your neighborhood to be involved. I gardened. I had a project in the late 90s in a really depressed neighborhood of Indianapolis, and we hired children to come over and work. But they would come over and found joy working in our gardens, and they felt self-worth in that, and I think that's what we have to do.
Okay, boys and girls, what have we learned today? Gardening is a good antidepressant, too. Organic pickled jalapeno slices are not easy to find. And finally, working in your yard tones your abdominal muscles. These and other life lessons available on our website, eartheats.org. Thanks to Steve Bonney of Sustainable Earth for speaking with Chef Orr today. Tune in this Saturday for word from the folks at Hunter's Honey Farm. Thanks for listening. I'm Annie Corrigan.